VK6ARN, News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931.
Hi there, I'm Clinton, VK6FCRC, and welcome to News West for the 28th of January 2024. Now on with the show.
VKRadioAmateurs.org, that's the web address of the Radio Amateur Society of Australia, known as RASA. You'd do well to drop in there and look around, because it contains useful resources for new, returning and established amateur radio enthusiasts. And here's the rub, the web-based resources provided by RASA are free for anyone to access. Free to anyone, whether or not you're a RASA member. There are a number of resources aimed at newcomers to the hobby, and to make it easier for you to access these, there's a newcomers tab on the menu. Of course though, these resources are not only for newbies. RASA is always interested in developing new resources, and your suggestions and input are welcome. And having said that everything is free, and you don't have to be a member, you're welcome to apply to become a member of RASA, or simply to make a donation. The RASA membership fee is $10, and $10 is fine. However, many people pay a larger amount as a donation, or if not interested in membership, simply make a donation to RASA. It doesn't cost a lot to run RASA. We don't own any assets and don't rent premises or equipment, and our QTC magazine is online. No dead trees involved. Our expenses are mostly related to websites and application licenses, and the rest are incidental costs. The next quarterly edition of RASA's QTC magazine is due to be published in March. We'll probably have a bit to say about how the class license implementation is going, and we'll welcome your views. You could, for instance, write a letter to the editor with your view on the class license or any other subject relating to Aussie amateur radio and your experience of it. RASA's point of contact is by email to info@vkradioamateurs.org. So that's one big long word, vkradioamateurs, then .org.
If you happen to listen to the right part of the 80 metre band on a Tuesday evening, you might hear something that sounds like this. The CQQRS net has been running every single Tuesday for the last 2 years and has been unbelievably popular. There are usually half a dozen, a dozen, and a couple of times up to 18 stations, popping in and out, when they can, over the 4 or 5 hours. The aim is to encourage new CW operators to have a go at slow CW in a safe and really friendly environment, where slow speed and lots of mistakes are par for the course. It's all about having a go, starting with a basic call sign and RST exchange, then, over time, getting better and better. The net also attracts its fair share of old-timers who enjoy helping others to have a go or just to enjoy the banter. So this might be just the opportunity you've been waiting for to have a go at transmitting on CW, or perhaps just to stop the contacts rusting up on your key. Doesn't matter whether you're brand new to the code or if you're an old-timer who would like to have a bit of fun and help encourage new operators by having simple, safe QSOs at their speed, we'd love to have you join in. The net starts at 0900 Zulu every Tuesday on 80 metres between 3540 and 3570 kHz, and there's stations in the west, east and in between listening out for your CQQRS call. For more information and to receive our weekly CQQRS RagChew newsletter, contact me, Mark, VK6QI, via my email address on qrz.com, or you can email me direct, mark.bosma@icloud.com. That is mark.bosma@icloud.com. Too much switch mode power supply hash on 80 metres? This might be the incentive to do something about it. With a cheap noise canceller costing less than $100, 80 metres could be easier than you think. So once again, Tuesdays from 0900 Zulu until late, between 3540 kHz and 3570 kHz. Cheers from Mark, VK2KI and VK6QI.
Hi, I'm Steve, VK6SJ, with another episode of Did You Know? Today I thought I'd like to talk about SOTA, or Summits on the Air, not because I'm an expert on mountain climbing, but because I was struggling for a subject and Cole, VK6LFM, suggests that I talk about SOTA. Thanks, Cole. I think I'm a good example of a couch sloth. So, off to consult the oracles. That would be the SOTA website. What is SOTA? SOTA, or Summits on the Air, is an organisation that promotes radio activations on mountaintops, generally 150 metres or more above ground level. There are some basic rules around activations. You can't house any of the station in a vehicle or connect it to any kind of energy that you didn't bring yourself, and you can't use fossil fuel burning sources of energy either. You can't be in the vicinity of your car, and you must be within 25 metres of the peak. What's the point, you might ask? Well, lots of people worldwide chase summits now, so if you can be heard, you can be the DX. Good for the ego. When you're on a mountaintop in the bush with a call sign others are looking for, you can hear everything. You're 150 metres or more above the ground and in a very RF quiet environment. And a wanted call sign is like a 1 kilowatt linear amplifier. Everyone can hear you. It's a great exercise and it's kind to the environment. Just don't forget to hug the trees you tie your antennas to. If you're a sloth like me, then chasing summits sounds more exciting to me than chasing grid squares. If you like chasing wallpaper, SOTA has a bunch of awards you can earn and pay for certificates and trophies, etc. There are three types of SOTA participants: activators, those that climb mountains and set up radios; chasers, those that sit at home and chase SOTA activations; and there are shortwave listeners who listen for activations and chasers alike. In WA, we have six regions and 467 summits. The Pilbara has the most summits here, with 153 to choose from. Many haven't been activated yet. Within a couple of hours of Perth, there are seven or so summits, most with some familiar calls in the activations list on the SOTA website. We have quite a few SOTA activators in our midst here in WA, so this is not a new thing. Half of the SOTA regions in WA are managed by our very own Bear Grylls, also known as John, VK6NU. From a management perspective, you do need to do some planning prior to visiting a summit. Some of them are on private property, including farms, government and telco radio sites, mining companies, etc. Summits that have been visited before often have a write-up on aspects around entry to the sites, but if it is an unactivated site, you might have to put your de-expedition planning hat on and find out what is involved, especially if you're planning to travel long distances to get there, like the Pilbara, for instance. What about equipment needed? There are a couple of go-to radios for this kind of operation. FT817 and 857 radios are popular, as are the IC705 and the Shiju 6100 and G90s. They fit neatly into a small Pelican case, and with a few lithium 12-volt batteries and a wire antenna, you can be on the air without having to hire three Nepalese Sherpas to accompany you. My VK9XX expedition a few years back used a similar setup with a wire dipole with alligator clips to change bands, and a couple of squid poles netted me about 300 contacts a day, over about 3 or 4 hours a day. So, want to be the DX for a day without having to fly to Cocos? Maybe SOTA's your thing. For more information, Google SOTA Summits on the Air. Thanks for listening. This is Steve, VK6SJ, and you're listening to News West, the only ham broadcast with real-life sandgropers.
Hi, just a little note about VK6RRG and the WAG Technical and General Net. Having it run every Sunday morning on VK6RLM, that's 146.750, or Channel 3 in the old money. And it starts at 10:30 a.m. this morning. Of course, if you're listening in the evening, it's next week.
You may notice that News West has been light on for content lately, and I've been playing a lot of repeat stories, but you can help us to change that by sending your stories or contributions through to newswest@vk6.net.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6 ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
With the amateur radio class license implementation only a few weeks away, let's have a look at the major impacts on our amateur radio operations here in Australia. That's right. From 1 second past midnight on Monday the 19th of February, nothing will be noticed as we get on air under the class license. I guess change can always bring on a bit of angst. However, the bottom line is that all the pages of paragraphs from the ACMA are really about how they will administer a class license for amateur radio. Gone are our individual licenses, and instead we have a sort of a Clayton's license, in that we must hold a certificate of recognition from the ACMA at either foundation, standard or advanced level in order to operate under the class license. All current holders of an Australian amateur radio license should by now have received a letter from the ACMA advising of the implementation and authorising them to operate under the class license under the call signs that they currently hold. Now, if you have not received one of these letters, you should contact the ACMA promptly and sort it out. It may be that the ACMA does not have your correct or current address for notifications. Some folk are getting a bit confused when they see some of the material from the ACMA, which mostly covers administrative and regulatory issues that need to be rewritten to work with a class license. You still have to identify on air with a call sign, and to operate in your own right, you need to obtain one or more call signs. You may hold up to 5 call signs. What if you have a recognition certificate but don't hold a call sign? Can you still get on air? Well, yes and no. No, if you wish to operate on your own, in your own right. And yes, if you operate alongside someone with a call sign, for example, you might go out with a mate and do a contest, or under a club call sign. Under the present arrangements, and the new, club call signs are to be operated at the qualification level of the person operating, or, if there's another person present with a higher level, and they are supervising, you can operate at their level. Same as now. Nothing has changed. And it's the same for special event call signs, exactly the same rules. So, the best advice for Monday the 19th of February is to carry on business as usual. You don't need to change anything. There's nothing in the class license that changes our day-to-day on-air activity. So, get on air and make some noise.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. The other day, I came across an amateur who expressed concern that someone was using a frequency set aside for repeater use with their hotspot. Band plan issues aside, and you're encouraged to send an email to CQ at vk6flab.com with a link to the official band plan that applies to your DX entity. In my experience, it's not unusual for an amateur who is configuring their so-called hotspot to use such a frequency. While you might be familiar with the concept of a mobile phone hotspot, that allows you to connect a computer through your phone to the internet. In this case, we're talking about an amateur radio hotspot. Similar in that it allows you to connect through the device to the internet, but different in that this is essentially a device that connects radios to the internet. And yes, if we're being pedantic, then computers and mobile phones also have radio. Well spotted. Anyway, an amateur radio hotspot is a radio with an internet connection, and in that, it's much like a modern repeater. Often they use low transmit power, have limited range within a building or vehicle, and because of that are hardly unattended. That said, if you connect a more effective antenna and an amplifier, you could make such a device into a full-blown repeater. In other words, the line between hotspot and repeater is likely in the eye of the beholder. Given that the regulator in many countries requires a license for operating a repeater, or a beacon, I wondered what the official definition of a repeater was. So, I went looking. Note that this applies to Australia only, but you'll find the journey illuminating, I'm sure. The current Radio Communications License Condition Apparatus License Determination 2015 does not have either the word repeater or beacon. The new Radio Communications Amateur Station Class License 2023, which comes into effect on the 19th of February 2024, uses both repeater and beacon several times, but does not define what they are. It has an interpretation section with a note that lists both amateur repeater station and amateur beacon station and states that the regulator can define terms under section 64(1) of its own act. The Australian Communications and Media Authority Act of 2005, section 64(1), states that, quote, the ACMA may make written determination defining one or more expressions used in specified instruments, being instruments that are made by the ACMA under one or more specified laws of the Commonwealth, end quote. It should come as no surprise that neither repeater nor beacon appears in this document. I then thought to go sideways and search the Register of Radio Communications Licences for a repeater licence. It reveals a PDF for a licence with all manner of detail, frequencies, power levels, location, antenna type, etc., for a licence, but no definition of what a repeater is. I then looked at the 481 pages of the Radio Communications Act 1992. It uses both beacon and repeater. Unfortunately, beacon is in relation to the operation of lighthouses, lightships, beacons and buoys. Repeater is in relation to two or more digital radio multiplex transmitters. I then searched through the Federal Register of Legislation for the phrase amateur beacon station. It returns 27 results, of which 9 are in force. I downloaded all 9, including any explanatory text if it was available. In all, 340 pages of legal documents. Finally, we have progress. In the Radio Communications Interpretation Determination 2015, we find the following definitions. Amateur beacon station means a station in the amateur service that is used principally for the purpose of identifying propagation conditions. Amateur repeater station means a station established at a fixed location, A, for the reception of radio signals from amateur stations, and B, for the automatic retransmission of those signals by radio. So, if your hotspot is in a vehicle, it's not a repeater, but if you have it sitting on your shack, it is. Similarly, apparently, my 10 dBm whisper transmitter, which I use solely for the purpose of identifying propagation conditions, is a beacon. Apparently, if you have your computer controlling your radio using whisper, that's a beacon too. You can apparently apply for a license and pay the regulator for the privilege, the price of which went up by 510%, according to their own documentation, from $29 to $177. No idea if that's a once-off or an annual charge. So, now we have a situation where, apparently, the rules state that I'm not permitted to use whisper without a beacon license. In fact, the explanatory statement to the amateur class licensing reform instruments explicitly states that, quote, subsection 13(2) prohibits the operation of an amateur station for specified purposes, including for the purpose of obtaining a financial gain or reward. The subsection also prohibits the operation of an amateur beacon station or an amateur repeater station under the amateur station's class license, and, subject to subsection 3, the transmission of an encoded signal to obscure the meaning of the signal. End quote. I've just hit send on a letter to the regulator asking for clarification. Perhaps you should write one too. I've also just switched off my whisper transmitter, and if you're one of the 2,312 amateurs who made a whisper transmission last year in Australia, perhaps you should too. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo.
Hi there, it's Clinton, VK6FCRC, back with you, and did you know that News West is now on YouTube? Type in youtube.com/@NewsWestWeeklyPodcast. -Kilo Zulu 7 Yankee Charlie. Oh, and before I go, I'd like to thank those watching on YouTube or ATV, the readers, and you for listening. I'd also like to thank our team, the broadcasters, and those submitting content each week. Please stand by now for callbacks after the broadcast, or head over to the VK6.net website and fill out the form so we know how many people are listening each week.